All right, I want you to take the Word of God, please. Turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 4. The book of 1 Timothy, chapter number 4. And we are studying through the book of 1 Timothy together, also studying through the book of Haggai. And we've come tonight again to 1 Timothy, chapter 4. And we begin our reading with verse number 2. Verse number 2 of 1 Timothy, chapter number 4. My wife's at home with a sick little one, but I believe she's listening in right now. So, honey, if you're listening, your darling loves you tonight. Amen. By the way, that's a blessing. Honestly, that is a blessing. To be able, if you're sick, you can't get out of the home or something like that, listen to us live. You can't get away from me. You understand what I'm saying? And I trust that you'll start doing that and get the word out. Wouldn't it be great to meet people in heaven who was listening, who weren't even in this building, but they were listening live, and we see them in heaven someday because of Brother McGee and what he's doing and allowing us to broadcast this live. So we sure appreciate that. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with the hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. If you mark your Bible, I want you to mark a phrase in verse number 6. It's the phrase, a good minister of Jesus Christ. Now, I've preached this before several years ago, but since we're traveling through this book together, I wanted to preach it again when I got to it here. And I've added some stuff to it and all these kind of things. But as we've come to chapter 4 in this glorious book, I did not want to skip it, even though I've preached this two or three years ago. So let's pray together, and I want to share this thought with you on a good minister of Jesus Christ. Our Lord, we love you tonight. I pray that you help me to preach and teach with clarity and understanding. May these dear folks who've chosen to come to your house be helped and encouraged, I pray. Forgive my sins. Help me to be clean before you. Speak to our hearts. Speak to me. Speak through me. May thy will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in this chapter, God brings out the fact that he desires his ministers. Now, you understand the word minister here carries the idea of a waiter at a table. He's talking about a teacher, a pastor, or a deacon. Now, to be good right here, he's saying he wants his ministers to be good ministers. Now, the word good here carries the idea of valuable. It means to be a virtuous minister, to be a better minister, a meet minister, or a worthy minister. Now, the great thing about this passage of Scripture is our Lord not only shows us his desire, but he defines what a good minister of Jesus Christ is and what they do. Now, there are five things I see in our text here that God brings out about a good minister of Jesus Christ. Let me pause here and say this, that even though this is written to the leaders in the church, you understand Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, is speaking to the young pastor by the name of Timothy. Now, even though he's speaking directly to God's leaders in the church, we all can apply it to our own lives today. In other words, God wants you to understand some things, that whether you're a leader in this church or a leader in your home or neither, we can all learn some valuable lessons from this chapter. Now, God knows my heart. And by the way, he knows yours too. Now, I do not want to be just a minister of Jesus Christ. I want to be a good minister of Jesus Christ. And listen, you ought to have the same desire in your heart. You ought to have a desire that whatever God gives you to do, you want to be the very best that you can be. Now, there's five things about a good minister of Jesus Christ I want to draw your attention to, and I want you to learn now how to apply Scripture to your own life. Understand that every verse of Scripture is speaking to you. No matter what you are, whether you're a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, a mom, a dad, a grandparent, learn how to take the Word of God and apply it to your life. In other words, as we speak about a good minister of Jesus Christ, God is speaking to you. He wants you to be a good minister of his. No matter what you are, he wants you to be the very best you can be. Now, five things about this. Number one, a good minister of Jesus Christ teaches the Word of God. Now, we see this in verses 1 and following. Look at it. The Bible says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." Now notice verse 6 closely. "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things." What are these things? The things that the Spirit in verse number 1 is speaking. Do you see that? Then in verse number 11, look at it. It says these things. In other words, this word of God here, these things command and these things teach. Now let me say this in verse number 1. The Spirit is speaking and saying there's coming a day when people will not accept the truth. May I tell you something? That day is already here, folks. There is a day going on today when people know what the truth is, but they do not accept the truth. Right here in verse number 1, he goes on to say that there's coming a day when people will pay more attention to the devil's doctrine than the Word of God. And we're there. Somebody say amen right there. In verse number 2, he says, "There'll be those who tell lies, and as they're speaking lies, they'll be a hypocrite." And what they're doing, they don't feel bad about it because their conscience is seared with a hot iron. In verse number 3 through 6, he simply says this, "Some will forbid the things that God has blessed." And some people will try to speak and say it's this way when God says, no, it's that way. Now what I'm trying to say to you here is notice in verse number 6, the word of God says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things," and verse number 11, "these things command and teach." Now the first point I'm trying to get you to see with me here tonight is that a good minister of Jesus Christ does not teach his own ideas and philosophy. We have too much of that going on around America. Have too much of that going on around the world where people are standing up and saying, "Thus saith the Lord," and the Lord hadn't spoken. And what I'm saying to you, what we need is we need good ministers of Jesus Christ, whether you're a parent with your child, whether you're a pastor to the church, whether you're a Sunday school teacher to your class, a bus captain to your bus route, apply it to where you are. We need good ministers of Jesus Christ who say, "I will not teach my own ideas. I will not teach my own philosophy. I will teach the Word of God." The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:2, "Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine." D.L. Moody said this. He said, "I've learned that the best source for sermons that help people is the Bible." Now think about it. We've got too many preachers today who are going around looking for their messages somewhere else other than God's Word. And let me make this announcement. I hope you already know this. We're 4 months into it. Good night. I know for you it seems like 40 years probably so far. 4 months into this pastorate here after preacher steps in for 46 plus years. You know, preacher, I think you was here 46 years and how many months?
Three.
You've only got 45 years and 11 months on me, right? So 45 years and 11 months, I'll be here as long as he was. Four months into it. Can I make an announcement? And I think you've already seen this. I'm not here to push my philosophy. I'm not here to teach my thoughts. I'm here, and God knows my heart, we are going to stay with the Word of God at Buffalo Ridge. That's a good minister. I'm not saying I'm a good one, but I'm saying I want to be a good one. And one way I can be a good minister is I don't teach what I think. I teach what God says. That's a good minister of Jesus Christ. You've heard me talk about Mr. Kaiser so much. One of his premier sermons is "I Found the Book." And he wrote a song on it. And I'm not going to sing it. Everybody said amen right there, right? But it goes, "I found the book with many authors, yet one. inspired all its pages to tell of God's Son. Prophets had promised what the angels proclaimed, the virgin-born Savior, Jesus Christ is His name. He walked Calvary's road all the way to the cross. Forsaken by God, He suffered great loss. Then a journey through hell from me He took. I know it is true, for I have found the book. He rose from the dead on that first Easter morn. The truth is the truth in spite of the scorn. He is coming again with a mighty trumpet sound. This too is taught in the book I have found. And the chorus goes, I've found the book that tells the sweet story of Jesus my Savior, resplendent in glory. With great love He has loved me. All my sin He took. I sing of salvation, for I have found the book. That is a great song. And I'm glad tonight I can announce with authority that I hold God's word in my hand. And this book right here is what a good minister teaches all his days on earth. A good minister teaches the word of God. Number two, a good minister in verse number 10, trust in the living God. He teaches the word of God. But number two, he trusts in the living God. Look at verse number 10 of our text. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Now that word trust there means to expect. It means to confide in or to hope in. The word labor here means to feel fatigue. It means to work hard, to toil or to be weary. The word suffer reproach means to be defamed, to be railed upon, to be chided about, to be taunted, to be reviled, to be upbraided, or to be cast in the teeth. Now I share those definitions with you because I'm showing you that what he's saying, and keep in mind this is the Apostle Paul speaking, who had so many things hit his life, so many trials hit his life, so many troubles hit his life, and yet he's saying this, the reason we keep on going and we keep on going and we keep on going in the face of opposition is because we trust in our living God. In a world where many are placing their trust in other things, we need to be a good minister that says, I will not trust that. I will not trust that. I will not trust him. I will not trust her, but I will put my trust in the living God. No doubt about it. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Now what Paul is saying here, and keep in mind, if you want to read it later, write down 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. If you want to read it later, write down 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 7 through 10. And just get a little glimpse about what Paul went through in his life. And yet Paul is the human penman, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, writing the book of 1 Timothy. And what he's saying is he had been through a lot, but through everything he had gone through, God was still worthy and God could still be trusted. And I'm glad no matter what you're going through tonight, you can trust God. He's worthy tonight. He's trustful tonight. You may not can trust me. I hope you can. And listen, I hope you do trust me, but it is possible I'll fail you. I hope not. I pray not, but it's possible I might because I'm a human being. But I know somebody will never fail you. He'll never let you down. You can trust him lock, stock, and barrel 24 hours a day. He's always good. I don't care what's going on in your life. God is able to be trusted, and you can trust in God. Aren't you glad that's true tonight? Where would we be if we couldn't trust God? Where would you be if God told you this and you say, well, I can't count on that. He may do it, he may not. I'm glad that if God says he's going to do it, he will do it whether we trust him or not. Amen. I'm glad it's that way. 2 Samuel 22, 2 and 3. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. Psalm 56, 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Psalm 62, 8. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. us Selah. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. The Bible says in Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Isaiah 12, verse 2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. And Isaiah 50, verse 10, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Job 13, 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. No doubt about it, God can be trusted. And a good minister of Jesus Christ not only teaches God's word, he trusts in the living God. Then we go on to point number 3. And that's found in verse number 12. And that is this: a good minister of Jesus Christ typifies the godly life. No doubt about it. Now, we've seen that a good minister of Jesus Christ teaches God's word. A good minister of Jesus Christ trusts in the living God. And a good minister of Jesus Christ typifies the godly life. Look at verse number 12 of our text. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, conversation, charity, spirit, faith, and purity. Now, that those words, be thou an example, those words carry the idea of being a type, of being a model, of being a pattern. Like Titus 2:7 says, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In other words, God's saying this: if you are a believer, because it says this, but be thou an example of the believers. He's saying if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are a child of God, show it to the world. Typify what God's child is to be. In other words, you say you're saved, prove it. And he gives you a list of things that he wants you to set the example in. Now I want to ask you a question. As I go through these things, ask yourself this question: can others be like me and please God in these areas? Are you truly setting an example? Are you truly typifying the godly life in these areas? Are you truly setting a model example? Are you setting a pattern? Do as I'm doing. For your children, for your spouse, in this church, whatever the case may be, apply it where you're at, you understand? Learn to apply God's word where you are. First of all, he says a good minister of Jesus Christ typifies the godly life in word. This is all in verse number 12. Now, this is a powerful word, because this word here carries the idea of what you say and what you think. It's not just what comes out of your mouth, it's what's going on up here too. Now, it's interesting to note how an individual will speak 18 to 25,000 words a day. Now, I'm holding myself back right there, you understand? Who's the 18,000 to 25,000? You understand that? Just a little sideline. But the average person speaks 18 to 25,000 words a day. And the Word of God tells us we'll stand judgment for every idle word. Now that's a sobering thought. I want to ask you a question tonight. Are you setting an example in how you speak? The Bible says in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. James 3, 5 and 6 says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. Let me ask you a question. In the way you talk and the way you think, are you proving you're a Christian? This kind of preaching is very rare around America. What I mean by that is that a lot of preaching today is just feel good about yourself. Feel good about yourself. Be happy. Be happy all the time kind of stuff. There's nothing wrong about being happy in Jesus. You ought to be happy in Jesus. Amen. You ought to be joyful in Jesus. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Every now and then, we need our feet stepped on. We need our toes stepped on. And I'm going to tell you something. God has given us the ability to speak. He did not give you the ability to speak corrupt communication. He gave you the ability to speak for Him. Tell people about Him. Pray to Him. Talk to others about Jesus Christ. By the way, we're getting ready to start a family crusade. You know one of the major problems in marriages today? The mouth. No doubt about it. The mouth. Running people down. All this kind of stuff. I'm saying just in general, I'm saying this. People don't speak like a Christian even when they're saved. And it's a shame. Anybody out there tonight? Amen. What am I saying? I'm saying God says He is good ministers of Jesus Christ. They set the example in word. Then He said, number two, they set the example in conversation. Now, this word conversation here carries the idea of behavior, lifestyle. In other words, it's not just what you speak, it's how you live. A godly, good minister of Jesus Christ will live their everyday life in such a way that they want to please God. Now, let me say this to you. You ought not to do things to please man. You ought not to do things to please me. Now, do I want you to please me? Sure. But you shouldn't do things to please me. I'm not a big enough motive. I'm not a big enough anything when you think about it. You understand? By the way, I've started exercising. It's killing me, honestly. They say that stuff's good for you. By the way, here it is. Here it says, verse 8, but for bodily exercise profiteth little. That's my life verse right there, folks. It's in our text. Verse 8, right there it is. The Lord just put that out there, you know. What in the world am I talking about? Off on that rabbit track, you know. But here's what I'm saying to you. When a preacher stands, by the way, Preacher Lashley's here. My Moses. Amen. The thing is, he's preached the holy life ever since I've known him. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, anybody who loves God appreciates a preacher like that. You show me somebody who bucks up against a preacher that says, you ought to live right. You ought to act like. You ought to please God. You ought to stay away from that. Stay away from that. You ought to please God with your life. You ought to have some standards. Praise God for a preacher like that. Amen. I'm thankful he preached that way. Preacher, it's your fault the way I am, I think. And by the way, I didn't always understand it as a teenager. You think I was back there as a teenager saying, glory to God, I appreciate that. No, but the older I get, the more I appreciate it. Amen. It's still in the book, folks, 1 Peter 1:15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. Why should you be holy? Because your God is holy. And you ought to try to be like him. Amen? No doubt about it. Typifies a godly life in word, in conversation. Number three, in charity. The word charity is a big word. It means love. This means that we ought to set the example in the way we love. Now, we should be setting the example in how we love the Lord and how we love one another. The Bible says in Luke 10:27, he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, with all thy mind. And then he adds on, and thy neighbor as thyself. Don't you love how he does that kind of stuff? You ought to love me with everything you've got. By the way, same verse. And you ought to love your neighbor as yourself. He goes on to say this, John 13:34-35, a new commandment I give unto you. This is Jesus speaking. He said that you love one another. How? As I have loved you. Well, that's convicting. How do he love us? Unconditionally. Amen, somebody? Unceasingly. Amen. Undeniably. There's a three-point outline. That's just come out of my mind there. I don't know. Hallelujah. What am I saying? He didn't say you ought to love them if they deserve it. He's saying you ought to love them like I love you. That you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. How? If you love one another. Let me ask you a question. Do you love the children of God? Do you love God's children? Do you love each other? You know what I want this church to be, and I believe we have it. I really do. I pray God adds to it. I want people to know they're loved when they come here. Whether they're a visitor, whether they're a member, whether they're a bus captain, a Sunday school teacher, I don't care who they are, whether they've been here 2 weeks, 1 week, one service, or 100 years, I want people to know that's a place there. Those people love each other out at that church. That's the way God wants it. Amen. And he wants us to set the example in love. Then he goes on to say, set the example in spirit. Now this word spirit here is talking about your mental disposition. In other words, your attitude. Not just what you do, but how you do it. God sets high standards on his children, doesn't he? He's saying, I want you to set the example in what you do, and by the way, how you do it. For instance, I know this has never happened to any of the parents in here who have teenagers. This never happened. This happened in my home. My boy's 6 years old. This already happened. Not exactly like this. I'm exaggerating. You parents ever seen anything like this? Go clean your room. Pow! Slam the door. And they clean the room. They come out and say, I can't believe you made me do that. Did they do the right thing? Yes, but their attitude stinks. And God says, I don't want just your actions to be right. I want your attitude to be right. He's saying, I want you to serve me with your actions, but then I want you to do it with the right attitude. High qualifications here, folks. Setting the example in what we do and how we do it. Our attitude should be right. Let me ask you a question. If you're serving God right now, how's your attitude about it? Believe we got to do this again. You ought to say, thank God I've got legs, I can do it. Amen. You ought to say, thank God I can get out. Thank God I can speak. Thank God he can use me. Thank God he can give me talent. Thank God he's helped me. Thank God I've got breath, I can use it to serve him with. We need to have the right attitude. No matter who we are, there's no shortcomings when it comes to God. God can use every one of us, no matter who we are, what's happened in our life, what summarizes our life. God can use you. And he wants to. We ought to have the right spirit, right attitude. Then he goes on to say, he gives two more things quickly here. We ought to set the example in faith. This means moral conviction or reliance upon Christ. In other words, we should be strong in faith toward our Lord and Savior. I don't feel worthy to even say that because I show so much lack of faith so many times. But the Bible says in Galatians 5:6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. In other words, we need to set the example in how we believe God. God is good and we can believe him. We need to set the example in that. And he goes on to give a last thing here. This is by no means everything, but this is the last thing in this list. He says, typify the God of life in purity. And this word purity here carries the idea of cleanliness. It has an emphasis on sexual purity. In other words, a good minister of Jesus Christ will not be loose morally. Amen. By the way, Proverbs 6, 32 and 33 speaks to this. Here's what God says, but whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. You know what that means? It means they're not too smart. That's what it means. What else does it mean? Whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And he will. You know, in a world that says, just do what you want to do. Everybody else is doing it, you go ahead. Help yourself. Don't let anybody tell you what to do. A good minister of Jesus Christ knows better than that. A good minister says this, I will be true to my mate until I see God face to face. May God help all of us to do that. And I do not want to be guilty of saying, that'll never happen to me. I'm saying by God's grace, that will never happen to me. And you ought to pray for me, and you ought to pray for yourself that God will keep you clean and keep you pure. I'm not naive enough to believe that God's not tempting people. I know He tempts people. But God has made it where we can stay pure. And a good minister says, I will set the example in purity. Young people, you better listen to me. That not only goes for married couples, that goes for those who aren't married yet. Keep yourself pure. Somebody say amen there, folks. That's Bible preaching. That's what God wants. In all of this, we see the Lord's will for us is to live like His child. Notice verses 7 and 8. In these verses we see, like I've already said, that bodily exercise profits little. That doesn't mean you shouldn't do it now. Just saying it profits little, but when we live like a Christian in godliness, typify the godly life, when you live like a Christian in godliness, God said, hey, if you live that way, if you set the example, that's profitable for you unto all things. And He's saying, we will not regret it here, nor when we get there. I promise you, when you're trying to live, you're not going to be perfect. You're going to fall short just like I do every day of my life. But if you're trying to live right, you're trying to live a godly life, you're trying to set the example in word and thought and conversation, charity, all these things. If you're trying to do that, when you see God, you'll be glad you did. You'll be glad you did. That's number three. A good minister of Jesus Christ typifies the godly life. Number four, quickly tonight, we see in verses 13 to 16 that a good minister of Jesus Christ takes God's call seriously. Look at verse 13 and following. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that's in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. In all these verses here, I hear one major thought coming across, and that is this: my will is serious, take it that way. Now let me say here that whatever God calls us to do with our lives, whether it be preach, if you're a man, whether it be a missionary, a Sunday school teacher, whether it be a housewife, whether it be a working mom, I don't know what it is, but whatever God calls you to do, that's a serious thing in your life. And you need to take it seriously. Now it just so happened that he's talking to a preacher here. So I'm going to apply this to the preacher, but I want you to apply it to your life. He says, first of all, give attendance to some things. You know what that word give attendance means, those words? It means to apply yourself to it. It means to pay attention to it. Be cautious about these things. Then he lists three things. He said reading. This word reading is the emphasis on scripture reading in public and private. You know what he's saying here? Don't forget to read the Bible. And you shouldn't either. Neither should I. He says give attendance to exhortation. This means comfort. He says give attendance to doctrine. This is an emphasis on instruction, learning, teachings. Then the second thing he tells them, not only give attendance, but secondly he said neglect not. Those words means don't be careless of these things. Don't make light of it. Don't disregard it. Then he lists the gift that's in him. In a nutshell, what he's saying is this. Look here, please. Work hard. That's what he's saying right there. Don't be lazy. He goes on to say the third thing. He says, meditate upon these things. That word meditate means to take care of these things. In other words, don't take these things lightly. They're truly important. Think about them. Meditate upon them. And he goes on to say the fourth thing, give thyself to these things. Now, this means to be in them, to keep on in them, to give yourself wholly to them. In other words, don't be distracted with frivolous things, but go all out for God. That's what he's saying. This is so practical, it's ridiculous. Then he goes on to say a fifth thing. This is all under the point, take God's call seriously. The fifth thing is, he said, take heed to some things. This is found in verse 16. These words, take heed, means to detain things, to arrest things, to bring it into custody, to pay attention, to hold forth, to mark it, to stay upon it. Then he gives two things to pay attention to take heed to. He He said, first of all, yourself. Secondly, doctrine. Now, in a nutshell, what he's saying in this verse is stay true to God's word and make sure your life backs up your message. That's what he's saying. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. He's saying make sure they both line up with one another. If you're preaching, thus saith the Lord, live a life that backs it up. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. That's the fourth thing about a good minister of Jesus Christ. They take God's call seriously. And then the fifth and final thing is this. Good minister of Jesus Christ tarries in the will of God. We see, first of all, that a good minister of Jesus Christ teaches the word of God. Trusts in a living God. Typifies a godly life. Takes God's call seriously, and then they tarry in the will of God. This is found in verse 16, where it says, continue in them. That word continue there means to stay over. Carries the idea, I'm going to stay over a little while here. Carries the idea of remaining, or to abide, or to stay by, or to stick to, or to see it through. Now, this is what should summarize a good minister of Jesus Christ. He is one who is continuing. He doesn't quit. He doesn't stop. It doesn't matter what's coming, how hard it gets, doesn't matter how much pain's going on, a good minister of Jesus Christ says, wait a minute, I'm going to take God's call seriously. I'm going to keep on typifying the godly life. I'm going to keep on taking God's call seriously. I'm going to keep on teaching the word of God. I'm going to keep on trusting in God. I will not quit until I see God. By the way, that's the same thing that'll help your marriage too. Amen. You say, why are you hung up on marriage? Because it's a major thing. I'm trying to build up towards this family crusade. I'm trying to whet your appetite a little bit. 6 weeks, nothing but the home. I pray God blesses it. Well, let me help you here. Whatever God's given you to do, don't quit. Stay with it. 2 Timothy 3:14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now, a good minister of Jesus Christ, 1 Timothy chapter 4, like I've already said, teaches the word of God, not his own thoughts, not his own philosophy. He trusts in the living God, not riches, not other people. He typifies the God of life, realizing God has saved me, I need to live like it. Number four, he takes God's call seriously. He realizes whatever God calls him to do, that is a serious thing, and he will give himself to it. He'll take heed to himself and whatever God's given him to do. He will not neglect it. Then number five, a good minister of Jesus Christ will tarry in the will of God. God's given me this. I will stay in it. I will not quit. God, help me to stay in this, to stay over, not to give up, not to throw the towel in. Help me stay with it. Now, I close with this. Several questions. Number one, are you a minister of Jesus Christ? You understand a minister is a saved person. You cannot be a minister of Christ unless, first of all, you're in his family. Do you know the Lord as your Savior? Have you trusted Christ? We had a privilege this week. I believe you really meant it. We had a man walking off the street. I believe it was yesterday, maybe the day before. Time will tell, you understand, that's out of my ballpark. That's in the Lord's hands. But he walked in off the street. He was asking for help with his light bill. And he was only asking for half of it, and it wasn't too bad, all this kind of stuff. I said, I believe we'll help him with that. Went into a room and began to deal with him, just right down the hallway here in the Naomi classroom. Shut the door and began to talk to him about his soul. Told me he'd been in prison. Somewhere in West Tennessee or something like that. I began to share the gospel with him, and he was starting to get it. You know, you can just tell when somebody's starting to get it. You know what I'm saying? Got down to the end of it, and I said, now, what you've heard, based on what you heard, if you died today, where would you go? He said, I'd go downstairs. I said, is that what you want? No, sir. I said, would you like to be saved? Yes, sir. I said, now listen, I don't want you doing this for me. Because I'm going to help you whether you say yes or no to this. So I don't want you doing it for the money because I've already told you I'm going to help you either way. I said, I don't want you doing this for anything else but yourself and the Lord. Do you want to trust Christ? He said, yes. He bowed his head just yesterday. I think it was yesterday. Prayed and received Jesus as his Savior. And he followed it up by simply saying this. Do y'all have buses that run here? He said, you know, I don't have transportation. And in a nutshell, I didn't say this directly, but in a nutshell, I said, I think we can help you with that. He just lives on Liberty Church Road. God willing, he's going to be here Sunday. What am I saying? Now that man walked in this church. He wasn't a minister. He's walking out. Now he's a minister of Jesus Christ. If he meant it. And he got it. No doubt about it. I'm asking, are you saved? Do you know the Lord? If you are, here's my last question. Are you a good minister? Are you a minister? And if you are, number two, are you a good one? Are you a good one? Are you teaching God's word? Are you trusting in God? Are you typifying the God of life? Are you taking his call serious? Are you tarrying in his will? May the Lord help us with this. Amen. No doubt about it. May the Lord drive it on our hearts. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father, we love you tonight. I thank you for this time that you've given us. And I pray, our Lord, and thank you for your wonderful word. What a blessing this chapter is. What a blessing the whole word of God is. And as we're studying through the book of 1 Timothy, and we have come to chapter 4, what a chapter. What a chapter. And may you drive these truths in our heart. God, help us, I pray, truly to be good ministers of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.